Thursday night. You're listening to Kayak Fishing Radio. I'm Chip Gibson, the Tree Hugger, and we're on Buzzards Row, and we're going to be talking kayak fishing and sitting out the rain here in north central Georgia in the ATL. Joining me right now on Buzzards Row is the man with the golden voice, and you got your beat on?
Feeling the need to get funky.
Feeling the need to get funky. But then, you know, you could also break out the Cavassier. And
that's whole different music, as you know.
That's whole different. Ladies'
whole, band. It's a whole different beat, my brother. And it's a different philosophy, a different way of looking at things.
Cavassier.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I don't
ladies
drink often,
man.
When I do.
When I do. It's the Cavassier. From the north side of Atlanta, we got our buddy Jim in here. Hello, Jim. How are you this evening?
Good, Chip. How you doing, sir?
All right. Waiting for the rain to blow through and waiting for the weekend to come upon us. Scuba Stan's in the chat room. Hopefully he'll remember the dial in there. 714. Maybe that's why he didn't know it, right? 714-816-4727. 4727. Right? Yeah, call in. And we'll chat with Stan. We're going to be visiting with Stan, or at least in Stan's area. I don't know if Stan's planning on being there or not, but we're going to be headed to Panama City probably Wednesday afternoon once the work day is done. Is that you, Mr. Stan?
It is. How are y'all?
All right, man. How's housebreaking going in Panama City, man? Are you getting the gig together?
Panama City is an amazing place. Southern hospitality is alive and well. There's so much to do. The water's beautiful. The people are great. It's great. You're going to have a great time over the 4th.
Yeah?
Yeah.
We're going to catch some fish. And so have you had a chance to meet the Panama City Kayak Fishing Association crew?
Actually, my very first night here, I went to their monthly meeting at El Jalisco's and had the speaker, Paul Van Rennen with Unfair Lures.
Right.
He had a great talk. I met him at the Boondoggle at Cars Park, and it was a good turnout. They probably had, it must have been 50 or 60 folks there. It was great.
They have a pretty big contingent of kayak fishing crew there. So we're looking forward
to
it. Going.
Definitely led by Brad Stevens. He seems to be the ringleader.
Captain Sunjammer right there.
Oh, yeah. He's huge in the community. He's a great advocate for kayak fishing, any paddle sports.
Yes. And so you've made the trip to the Sunjammer's Mecca and paid homage, and you're getting your bearings straight now, right?
I have, and it's pretty sad to say that I'm eyeing a Hobie. So once things settle down, you know, I may go to the dark side. Yeah, you know, I mean, what else can I do? Redfish Chuck, you know, he did it.
All the cool
kids are doing it.
Well, it's the new contingent. It's a new Saturday morning cartoon. It's called the Pedal Pals.
Yeah. Instead of the Coot Heads.
Yeah, instead of Cuda Head, see, it's kind of like gang warfare. You got your Cuda Heads, you got the Pedal Pals, you've got the Naturally Natives, you know. So there's all kinds of contingencies, man, and it's okay. I mean, that's why there's so many different plastic boats. But that area right in there, and I don't know if you, I know you're busy getting dialed in on a new job and everything, and but the fishing there, just offshore, I mean, and it's in kayak fishing range, is so awesome. I mean, you've got pelagics.
We've got people catch Spanish mackerel off of the end of my pier.
Right.
And that's like at the marina in the bay. That blew my mind to see that happen. But you're right. I mean, the guys are going out in kayaks and catching snapper, kings, wahoo, dolphin, like it's a normal thing, you know, which it is, I guess, a normal thing here, but it's not a normal thing to me.
Yeah, so, a friend who's kind of migrated down there from the Georgia area, Sam Patrick, is I think his second or third year down there. He's retired and stays, I think, down Raccoon Creek or something like that, and he fishes off the pier a lot, goes off with his kayak. But in one, I think two summers in a row, he caught 3 sailfish each summer.
Wow.
Just right off the beach.
I can't get over the clarity of the water. It's just off the beach. It's like Bahama clear.
It's pretty nice, yeah.
It really is.
And the sugar sand beach, the kids got to love that. It crunches when you walk on it and stuff.
It squeaks. It squeaks when you step on it.
Yeah, dude. So, yeah, and Jim here, he's telling us that the right there where we'll be staying at the Naval Support Activity is a pretty good area. There's like a nice little grass flat there that we probably early first thing in the morning there, you know, grab a cup of coffee and take off out there for some trout activity, redfish and stuff. So, I think we're gonna have a good weekend, man.
Yeah, I think so. I think we'll make it a good one.
Are you going to have time, or are you going to be busy all weekend?
Oh, I'll be there.
Oh, okay.
I don't technically have leave, but
right.
I will be for Dito Key come hell or high water, because my last boondoggle was cut short. So
yeah.
I when I took this job, I told them that I have a very important meeting to be at. In October, and it cannot be avoided.
You sure you're not going to be standing a post keeping the shop safe from vagrants?
Yeah,
that was fun.
That was fun.
Ah, the good old days.
Not on my watch. You leave that Choco Taco alone.
Damn Skippy.
So, how's the weather been, man? You guys catching any rain down there, or has it been moderate?
It's been beautiful. It's a little warm today, but it's not like Charleston or, you know, Charleston hot, where
right.
It's just, you know, sweltering. Here, there's always a nice little breeze, and the storms, you know, you watch them form every afternoon. And then we get a nice cool breeze from it, but we haven't gotten pummeled yet.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's coming, but, you know, so far it's been great. Not bad at all.
And Holly and the kids, are they going to make it next weekend?
They will be here for the 4th of July, and we've got this VIP party thing at my marina, which, of course, you and the family are invited to. That's catered, and $30,000 of fireworks are being shot off a couple hundred yards from the end of my marina off of a barge. So we have a cordoned off area for us to hang out.
Is there dress code for dinner?
Absolutely not.
Like Yak Angler t-shirts or Bahama.
That is acceptable. Flip flops and board shorts and Yak Angler gear. It's all acceptable.
Roger that. And Samus, she's pretty stoked to get down because I talked to Brad earlier, and he said that he's got a couple of Hobies that we can play with for the weekend. So we're going to run in probably Thursday morning and pick those up from him. But yeah,
Brad's
bringing
a good dude.
Yeah, he is. He's an awesome guy, and we appreciate the relationship that we have with him. But we're bringing some stout rods, man. It's snapper season, man, and we're looking to put some redfish in the box there.
I hope you get here within like 2 days. I think it closes on the 29th.
No, man. No. Say it isn't so.
I don't know. Verify, please.
Got to go to fish.
Verify, because I think it does. But I could be wrong.
I thought it was open until the 15th.
I don't know. I just check it before you come. I mean, there's still other fish, but, I mean, a red
snapper
are mighty tasty. But scallop season does open earlier. It opens on the 29th. And
right.
The scallop areas are, you know, just an hour away from us. You know, Port St. Joe, Mexico Beach area.
Yeah, we
That's
could.
That's got to be a good time.
We could cruise. Have you ever done any scalloping?
I haven't.
Yeah, you just kind of walk around in the grass beds there, and you feel them under your feet, pinch them down, and reach up, drop them in the bucket. Then you bring them back and put them on a bed of ice and have a couple of cold ones while you're waiting, and the ice just causes them to open up. And then you just take a spoon and flick them out into the frying pan with some garlic and butter, and yum, yum.
Oh, now you're talking. That sounds like I can probably get my kids to do all the work.
That's right, man. Yeah, I used to sit there with.
Go wait
like
out
a,
there, and find me.
I hung out there like trying to chuck them like oysters and stuff, you know, wearing myself out, you know. And
yeah.
Old guy that lived next door to said, "Yeah, just put them on some ice, man. They'll open up for you." Oh,
it could be
fun. Right. Yeah, it'll be a fun weekend, man. I'm glad we can hook it up. So, And then, like you said, the Boondoggle, October 11th to the 14th, and plus or minus a few days, depending upon the time available for anybody showing up. But we will. Oh yeah, I see Chris there now. Yeah, Chris, we're going to Panama City this weekend. We're going to be there probably Wednesday evening, and we will. Now, I think, let's see, Verdago. Yep. We need to, all right, this fish rules thing is kicking my butt right now. Links to full regulations.
Hey, Chris said it closes the 29th.
The 29th? Oh, man, I'm bumming, man. That sucks. The mahi are on the weed lines. Cool. I saw somebody pull a nice wahoo off the beach there, just off Pensacola. Actually, I've seen a couple of guys showing wahoo pictures there right off the beach. So that's pretty nice. And there in Panama City, Stan, the thing is if you look... You know, on Google, if you zoom in, you can kind of see the bottom structure, and it actually shows you, you know, it takes the water away. You can see the structure. There's like a big trough that comes from the deep water, and it just tails right off the beach there at Panama City. So there's live rock and everything down there. You'll have to break out your diving helmet and stuff, man, and see what's down there, right?
Oh yeah. I'm really excited to do that. I've already done a little bit of free diving just to explore a little bit. And
right.
I was tickled to find out we have mangrove snappers here. They're made mighty tasty.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's awesome, man. So, where's my... Man, I am going to be bumming. We're going to miss another snapper season. That's too bad. But there are other fish there.
proper planning prevents.
Yeah, the six P's of leadership. Yeah, I understand.
Yeah.
So, but anyways, so Becker, I'm looking to see if he's online yet. Becker, come back live here. You got to give us an update, man. What's the scoop on the Silver King hunt, man? You were gearing up, you know, getting a big rod ready with Shimano 6000 and all that. So, what's the status?
Yeah, I did. And last Saturday, I think it was last Saturday.
Uh huh.
Not sure what Saturday it was, but anyway, one Saturday recently, Haywood and I and a couple other folks got down off the Sarasota beaches looking for tarpon out there at zero stupid 30, jigging up some pinfish on the sabiki rigs. And then as the sun came up and you could start to see, there were two big pods of fish. Actually, I'll come back to the sun coming up because you really didn't need it to see. And that was our problem. But two big pods of fish, just very, very happy tarpon right in on the beach, you know, 30 yards or less at some points off the sand. Rolling around, flopping, daisy chaining, just slapping their tails on the water and just having a grand old time. Didn't want a whole lot of anything that we had to throw at them. And one of the guys with us hooked up on a big fish for one jump and then came loose. But it was the night of the supermoon, and I think the problem was that these fish were all eating all night long with the super bright moon, and just it wasn't happening with us out there. So plans are for this Saturday to be out there for a couple hours. Sunday we've got plans, so that's not going to happen. But next Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, maybe a nice 4-day run off the Sarasota beaches looking for tarpon. So. We'll see what shakes out.
So, and for folks that might be listening and thinking that you could just go off the beach and go after tarpon, there is a little bit of prior planning. As Stan mentioned, the six P's of leadership and planning, that you just don't go out and go chase a big triple-digit fish for your first time without somebody there to guide you and stuff. So,
no, definitely not.
Yeah. Because the big fish like that, the other part is a big giant fish. For some reason, those fish look like giant sardines to hammerheads.
Now, yes, they do.
So there are typically a lot of sharks around where the tarpon are getting caught. But you need at least two people when you're tarpon fishing, because by the time you get the fish to the boat, it's going to take two of you, one of you controlling the fish, and another person towing you along to revive the fish properly. And if folks haven't seen it yet, I mean they've got game fish status now in Florida, and the position limits and all have become quite a bit stricter. You're not supposed to be bringing fish out of the water anymore and stuff. So if you want a picture, you got to get in the water with them. So and handle them with care.
Yeah, but, absolutely.
Yeah, so I know that you've been working on setting up yourself and doing a lot of prior planning before going out and attempting this feat. So,
absolutely, and it's been a couple of years worth of the first couple of times I went out, I didn't even take a rod deliberately. I didn't take a rod. I didn't take a camera. I went out as a support guy for the other guys who were fishing, you know, to learn how to keep up with them, learn how to. You know, if they need extra drag on the back of their boat to grab and tee off on the back of their boat to slow them down a little bit, learn
right.
to tow, and learn all of that stuff and just watch how they play the fish. Because it might seem obvious to the casual observer, but, you know, even a 100-pound fish off the side of your boat, if you're not careful with how you play that fish, you can wind up in the water with them very, very easily. And I really wanted to watch how that was done. So two really important things are talk to people who know what they're doing. And we're a PFD. You know, I see a lot of guys out there who don't do it. And I get why they don't, but I just don't understand it. So
yeah.
it's definitely worth wearing the PFD and just making sure that your gear The one other thing you want to remember is leave 85% of the crap you normally take shallow water fishing in your car or in your garage or wherever else you keep all your stuff. You really don't need a lot of gear, but you need the right gear. And a lot of times getting through the surf line, getting launched and out past the breakers, even on some small swell breaking on the beach can be an interesting water entry if you've got a big drop-off or something else right on the beach. So
it kind of helps get rid of that extra gear that you don't need.
That is certainly one solution.
I think the last time we tried it, I had two rods. I had a 7-foot spinning rod with it was about a, I think it was a 15 to 30-pound rod with my Shimano 6000 bait runner and my Sabiki rod and a bait net to let the bait stay live in the water. So I would be spending the majority of my time with the Sabiki rod grabbing pinfish and having some fresh pins in the basket alongside of the boat and having one rigged and in the water ready to go when we saw the fish to cast at them and stuff. But actually I might have had one other rod with a stick bait on it. The fish we saw, I think the clone managed to get close. They just kind of rolled in front of him and he was just paddling along and they were just all around him. But I think they were just moving. They weren't eating. So,
yeah,
very, very similar. So, but yeah, that sounds like a lot of fun. And a big tarpon is, any tarpon is a thrill to catch, and certainly a one of those privileges that anglers get. And if you take care of them and stuff, it's a well fought battle and stuff. So. I know the last one I caught, I have not yet got a tarpon out of the yak, but on a regular boat, I think it was about almost 2 hours on the fight with 20-pound gear for about 160-pounder. So that
right.
I was like rubber band man after that, man. I had nothing left.
Well, the nice thing is, typically, from what I've seen, the fights are a lot shorter in the kayak. Because you can do so much better with angles, and you know you're not trying to fight them from a fixed point. You could actually you're using the boat as drag, and tends to kick them a little bit quicker. So
yeah, there was a show on the other night on Fishing Network, I think it was, or Discovery. What's the guy called? It's like Off the Hook or something like that. This guy, he's kind of an extreme dude. I think he was like some kind of WWE guy or something, bearded one, looks like Chuck, Chuck lookalike, and he went up to, he was up there in Virginia somewhere, or Cape Cod, and they were off going after bluefin tuna in kayaks, and a bluefin tuna, it was like, the guy was yelling at him when he got hooked up was, keep the rod, the boat, lined up, keep the
absolutely
fish off your bow. It's like every time the guy started to slide one side or the other, you know, it's like, no, keep it lined up, man. Let him pull you. It's like, don't get him sideways.
Yep.
Extreme catch.
That's a self-correcting problem.
Yeah, it sure is, man. Yeah. So you will get, you'll get dumped, so... Yep. Extreme Catch was the show. Yeah, Chris Johnson says he was a wrestler. The guy's a little off the chain, though. But yeah, so that sounds like a lot of fun, man. And I think we've got the 4th of July coming up. We're going to be down there for that. I think Memorial Day weekend, we're planning on going back down, and there's a event at Perdido, so the Boondoggle crew is going to go down and see the Perdido Chamber of Commerce has invited us down for that. We're going to have a little booth there to excite people about the Boondoggle the following month,
Memorial Day?
Yes. Labor Day. I get them mixed up. One is the beginning and one's the end. I can't remember. It's kind of messy.
Stage up in Panama City if you need.
Yeah. It's a bit of a drive, dude.
Yeah. Aren't we kind of like on the way?
On the way? No, yeah. Actually, we go pretty much due south to get to you, and we go on 85 and kind of go southwest to get to Pensacola. Oh. Yeah. But
Roger that.
No, we'll probably be spending more time in Panama City now that and actually, you know, you're real close now, man. So when there's a quick weekend or something like that, we have to introduce you to the big uglies of Cedar Key and that
Oh event. Yeah.
So
Oh yeah.
Cuz that's some good fun there. But yeah, definitely some scalloping. And Jim, you were saying the scallops were going to have to go a little deeper. We're not going to be able to wade for them.
And Port St. Joe, everyone and their brother shows up that first week of scallop season, and they pick over all the shallow stuff. So what you can actually do is put a dive flag in your kayak and tow your kayak behind you and take a little bag with you, one of the little ditty bags with you, one of the mesh bags, and just wait till the sun gets overhead and swim along with your snorkel and fins, tow in your kayak, and fill up your bag. You know, there's a 5-gallon limit, or there used to be. But, yeah, that shallow stuff, the first weekend, the population of Port St. Joe probably triples, and everyone's there for the scallops because it's got good long grass and it's tons of scallops in there.
Right. We used to...
Go ahead.
There used to be some real nice scallop beds right there, Panama City or Pensacola, right there from across from Big Lagoon and along the National Seashore there, but they just kind of disappeared. So,
I think it's from what I understand, it's it goes in cycles because you know sometimes over there Keaton Beach where I've scalloped Keaton Beach up through the Big Bend. They've had some really good years, and they've had some off years. And the guys who still live down in Panama City where I used to live, we had a discussion about that, and they said it's kind of cyclical. You'll get a couple good years, and you'll get a 1 year or 2 years of thin years. And then I guess the amount of rain and the amount of fresh water hitting the bay also will push the scallops out. That's why Port St. Joe is so good, because there's no freshwater rivers that go into Port St. Joe. Unlike Panama City and Pensacola, it's got one man-made canal that runs from Port St. Joe over to Apalachicola River. So it really doesn't get the freshwater push that Panama City and Apalachicola and Pensacola, Eglin, Fort Walton, that area does.
Cool. Well, that's some good insight
so
there.
If you go, take your kayaks and take your dive flags and just prepare to go out a little bit deeper, and you can load up.
So, I've got my game plan is with my new truck now. I put one of my outdoorsman bars on the back of it because I got a crew cab now, not just the extended cab. The clone really likes that too, so he's got his own seat now in the back. And then I've got a bar that's on the roof of the truck. So I can put my regular yaks up there, but Malone has a kit to convert my kayak trailer so that I can fold the tongue back, right? And it fits in the garage of my toy hauler. Unfortunately, the garage is only 10 feet long, but I can put the kayak trailer in there, and we don't bring the bikes when we're doing kayaking, so. I can put the kayak trailer in there so I can grab – I've got to pull the trailer out, hook it up to the back of the truck. Got more room for hauling kayaks and gear, so it's fun.
There you go.
Yeah. I wish I had a little bit more room in the garage in the toy hauler because then I could just load the kayaks onto the trailer, push them up in the garage, strap them down, and pull them out when I get there, but – It doesn't seem to bother the Cummins whatsoever that there's anything hooked to it, strapped to it, or whatever. The thing just pulls like a train, man. It's incredible.
You can't hurt that engine. You can't hurt that
actually,
engine. I don't care what you hook to it.
Actually, we pulled up to we're on a little bit of a rise, you know, pointing uphill, and I got a little too much foot on the accelerator with the 11,000-pound trailer hooked up to it, and started smoking the rear tires before the whole inertia thing started moving forward, man. The truck was hopping around. The clone's like, "What the heck's going on?" Like, I just got to back off a little bit. Yeah. Yeah, it was, it's got a little to it, man. So I think we doubled the horsepower from the old Ford, and, just about doubled the torque too. So it's crazy. I'm very happy with it so far. But we got more roads to drag around on now, so. And Cedar Key and Simmons Park and just lots of fun things, so. But anyways. Mr. Becker?
Sir.
Did you did a little tarpon fishing, but did you get into any shallow water fish this past weekend?
No, we didn't get out.
No?
The winds and schedules on Sunday didn't work out for that, so.
Right. So, and we missed you last week, so I saw that Bill said you guys had, I saw that he had posted you guys had done some the weekend prior. But how's Mr.
Yep.
Mr. Howard doing?
Mr. Howard is doing well, loving life in the new Hurricane Phoenix 14.
Uh-huh.
Enjoying getting out in the new boat. Water down here has warmed up significantly.
Right.
And now we're into the summertime pattern where we no longer have those great wintertime morning low tides here. The low tides and the better tides are later in the afternoon into the evening hours. So if you're going to be up on the flats fishing before the water really warms up and just kind of turns to fish soup, you really want to be out as close as you can to daylight, fish those first few hours, and then it slows down pretty dramatically after that.
Right.
Got on a few redfish last time. Robert picked up a nice keeper trout to add to the fillet stack for the trip to New York. It was in the freezer, so we were able to round that out, but otherwise it was pretty slow.
Awesome. And so plans for this weekend, going to go back out and work the tarpon thing on Saturday?
Yep, going to be out there at Stupid 30, maybe a little earlier than that on Saturday, try to be out there catching some bait before the sun gets up. And then try to do that Saturday morning for a couple hours. The nice thing about that is, you know, it's not a whole day. They're pretty much done by 9:30.
Right.
They've moved out into the deeper water and they're out off the beach, so you're not committing the whole day. And then some other stuff to do. Sunday morning, we're waiting to see what the weather's going to be like. And then tickets to a Rays game at 1:40 on Sunday. So that kind of the Sunday schedule will work around that. So.
Yeah, who are they playing?
Detroit, I think. Should be a good game.
Should be. All right.
Yep.
And Stan, how about you, man? Give us some more rundown on what Panama City's doing to you, man.
Working me. I'm still trying to justify my salary. Yeah. So
you're just having too much
fun.
Getting on to vagrants.
Every day. Yeah, that's the fun part. Just trying to work. I'm still evaluating the marinas and the performance and bringing in some change to tighten it up. I plan to get on the water soon. It's kind of challenging when I'm living out of warehouses in a 16-foot kayak, or a camper.
Right.
But, I've been fishing a little bit. Not enough to really say I've been, but developing my plans.
Getting all the scoop, creating a notebook, learning the ropes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, there's, you know, one thing I've heard that goes on here that I'm really excited about, and I'm super excited to bring my kids into it, is people fish for squid certain times of year around here.
Right.
And they've got these little squid jigs, and you can use it on a cane pole, you mm-hmm. know, or a fishing rod or whatever. And when the squid come in, you drop this thing in the water, and you pop it out, and there's a squid. And
yep.
They said it's great for kids because it's just really simple. And, you know, that's something I've never even heard about. So it sounds like it's going to be a great time.
Yeah, a little squid jig. It's you just watch the kids. They don't want to wrap their hands around the thing. It's pretty pokey.
Oh, there's a lot of little spikes on it.
Yeah. It's kind of like a sabiki rig, you know. It's just something that little kids and Marines shouldn't play with, really.
Right.
And some of them are like glow in the dark, and Chris Johnson just the jigs and lights, and it's a good way to pick up bait too. I mean, or you can eat them. I mean, if you like a little calamari. So.
Well, I always have bait. You know, one, we purchase bait, we sell bait, and also we have pinfish traps. So,
uh-huh.
you know, we're squared away in that position. You know, gotcha plugs, which in my past I've never used very much. I thought it was a gimmick, are really
uh-huh.
popular here. You know, it's for the Spanish and whatnot. You know, just... It's really nice. This is a beautiful thing. Since I now have a ship store that sells tackle, oh, yeah, a Henry's account.
Yeah.
I couldn't be more tickled about a Henry's account. You
You're
know, plus
in trouble
plus,
now.
Oh, man, there goes my paycheck. but we're also, you know, looking to support some of the folks that aren't with Henry's, like the Tommy Head Jigs. We just put an order in with him and, yeah,
cool.
I'd like to carry some Slayers and, you know, bring some stuff to the area that may not be as popular, but I know that works.
Right. Awesome. And then has Brad brought you any donuts?
No, I think I need to take that up with him. I don't
yeah,
know why
I mean, I mean, 7 o'clock in front of his place, 7:05 is usually when he shows up with donuts, man. So, yeah, you'll just have to... You have to start doing the, you know, when the Sun Jammers posts hit in the morning, you know, going back after
yeah.
him and for the donuts and stuff, seeing where the donuts are. But
he's, you know, I'll tell you what, Brad is an influential guy in this area. Everybody knows who he is. And even though he's, a younger guy, people really respect him. And he's definitely made a name for himself. So. It was very fortunate that he was my first point of contact, thanks to Chip Gibson.
Oh, yeah, he's the guy. That's, Panama City, there's the guy to go to. I mean, I there was nobody else to send you to. But then you meet the other crews down there. I mean,
oh yeah,
there's a
yeah,
bunch
Sean
of folks.
Sean Blunt.
Yep.
You know, there's a lot of just good folks here.
Yeah, a bunch of good folks. So. There should be a few Kayak Fishing Radio hats in the area and some stickers. So.
Oh, I've been tagging it. I've been tagging things with the
yeah,
stickers.
Yeah, I'll bring some more.
Oh yeah.
Out.
Yeah, please do, because you're going to see them randomly placed around town.
All right, I just give you mic live there. Hey Matt, how are you tonight?
Hey, good evening.
Yeah.
Dodge lightning bolts.
Yeah, you dodging lightning?
Yeah.
Finally been out
got,
on the water?
On the phone. no, just right now, a massive thunderstorm came through, man. It probably dropped at least an inch of rain. I got
awesome.
Some 5-gallon buckets outside that are full of water right now.
Cool.
Yeah.
You don't.
So I had to wait to call in.
So. Did you get a chance to get on the water this week, man? What's up? Give us
yeah,
a fishing
I got
report.
Out Saturday, man. It was nice. The fluke fishing is amazing right now up here in Jersey. It's anywhere you go, pretty much, you can catch fish. And big
anywhere
fish,
you
too.
Go, huh?
Yeah, pretty much. I like it like that when it's just catching.
That's a good time of year, man. So fluke and, I mean, the stripers are still going up there?
The striper run's still going on out in the ocean. It
uh-huh.
seems that they've vanished out of the bay that I typically fish. So.
Right.
So you always got some resident ones back there, but yeah, you got to really try hard to fish for them. It's
right.
kind of thin. You know?
And so what size are these, the summer fluke? I mean, what were you hooking up with?
I had them from 21 inches up to 25.
Oh, yeah, that's
a nice fish. I know 24 inches on my Boga grip, one of the fish I actually checked out to weigh. It was 6.5 pounds, so that's pretty good for a flat fish.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's a nice, and that's one that can, it'll fillet out real nice, or you can skin it and stuff it, right?
Stuff it, you can put it between some bread and eat it as a sandwich.
Yeah, there you go. Sandwich. awesome.
Yeah, but other than that, another Heroes on the Water New Jersey outing on Saturday, going out of Sandy Hook. So
right.
That should be a good one. 24 veterans signed up, so we'll see how the turnout is.
Cool.
Yeah, man. Looking
good. And that's this coming weekend?
Yeah, that's Saturday.
Okay. And speaking of Heroes on the Water, if folks don't know about it, there's a contest going on right now and we get everybody to vote for Heroes on the Water for like a service to paddling group. Oh man, let's see if I can find.
Very
that.
Nice.
Yeah, so we'll post that up on our the Kayak Fishing Radio website. Get folks to go in and vote on it. See if I got the email here. Check out Sheen. These electronic devices, you know, they give me heartburn. So, yeah. Let's see. No, I don't have it with me. So, but yeah, we'll post that up on the Kayak Fishing Radio. Paddle for a Purpose. There you go. Chris Johnson. And Chris.
Aha. Nice.
He's a Heroes on the Water crew there. And, down in Pensacola. So, but yeah, Paddle for a Purpose. Go in and vote for Heroes on the Water, and be a cool thing there. Mr. Becker, you guys got a Heroes on the Water thing lined up anytime soon there in Tampa Bay? The paddle fishing.
As a matter of fact, I believe we have one scheduled. The original date that was posted for it was the 12th of July, and that makes absolutely no sense to me. So I was actually just not paying attention for a moment. I apologize. I was off on the Facebook page looking that up to see what the correct date is. But I know we do have one coming up in July. Our last event in June was postponed due to Tropical Storm Andrea and the possibility of some pretty good swells out there. We chose discretion being the better part of valor with that one.
That's it. Okay. Well, you said if you're listening to the show and you're wondering about Heroes on the Water, there's usually one locally. You can go to the main site there, Heroes on the Water, and check it out. There's groups that take the veterans out into the kayaks and take them fishing. But it's an event that we would suggest that you try to contact the local paddling group before you just show up, because it's kind of a there's Facebook.com, Heroes on the Water. Thank you, Chris. And contact them if you want to help out. It's a great thing. I participated in a couple of events myself, and it's really a great deal to see the guys get out on the water and spend a little bit of time fishing and stuff. Actually, some of the guys that I was privileged to go out in the boats with, they just wanted to sit out in the boat and just have a good, you know, just experience it. I mean, I don't think too many of them were fishing.
And that's cool.
Yeah. It's very cool.
Definitely cool. So.
Yeah, I was watching one guy, you know, and he was just, I'm just like, yeah, get comfortable with it, man. And we were on a pond down at Fort Benning, and he just paddled around, you know. And I said, cool, you know. He's like, yeah, I'm just going to go paddle over here for a little while. Yeah, it's cool. And we just paddled around, man, had a good time. So, but yeah, like I said, I think it's important that you hook up with the sponsoring group there and find a way that you can be a part of it. But don't just show up because it's more about the guys and not about the volunteers. So.
You know, and Chip, it's important to note that they're just like any other organization. You know, they say it takes eight logistics folks to support one soldier on the ground. The same is true of a Heroes on the Water event. There's a lot more involved, and there can be a lot more involved than just getting out there in the boat and shepherding, if you will, or guiding somebody, a participant in the event. You know, there are opportunities for shoreline crew. There's opportunities if they're going to have food or something else there on the beach later on to get that stuff repaired. That stuff, and making them feel welcome and creating an environment where they can be successful is every bit as important as being out there next to them paddling on the water and supporting in that way. So
absolutely,
there are a lot of different ways for folks who are interested. You know, even if they've got enough volunteers for a particular day to be out on the water, there are a lot of different ways to be involved and to support the events. So, you know, don't hesitate to reach out for the organizers and to say, hey, this is what I can do. This is, I can, you know, I've got two pop-up tents, four chairs and a table, plus two kayaks. You tell me what you need and where you need it.
Right.
And it's great to be able to support in that way, too. And that takes a lot of the hassle out of the event for folks who might otherwise have to multitask and do four and five things and try and figure out how to set up lunch when they're, you know, 300 yards away from the launch. So a lot of
absolute
different opportunities to support.
Well said. And that's exactly, Stan has left us. So, Stan, I know you're still listening, so appreciate you calling in, buddy. And we'll see you in a week. Chris Johnson put up their chapter, Heroes on the Water, Emerald Coast chapter. And you guys for the Tampa area is paddle-fishing.com. Is that correct?
There's information on paddle-fishing.com, but we also have a Facebook page. It's Heroes on the Water Tampa Bay.
That's
so Tampa, you can take
Bay.
A look there.
That's right. And as Klauswick said, it's the logistics that makes it move. So
that's it. Nothing moves without logistics.
That's right. So definitely volunteers are good. Make sure that contact your local chapter and get involved. So, well, we're just about up to the top of the hour. Matt, are you like swimming in that water out there, man? Do you need a new roof or something?
No, that's me bailing out my basement, actually. I got a wall leaking.
Jeez. Sounds like you're in your kayak, dude.
It's pretty bad. It's never been this bad. I'm just trying to direct water into the sump pump.
Throw a line, man.
Yeah.
The house is sinking.
The house is sinking.
I should have grabbed my PFD and my paddle.
I was just going to say, I certainly hope you're wearing your PFD.
Now, this is incredible. Right. This thunderstorm just came through here. It's probably still pouring out, but it dropped a lot of rain on us.
Well, I was joking, man, thinking that you were paddling around, but I could hear the water in the background. I thought it was like Stan giving a kid a bath or something like that, man. That sounds like a lot of water, man.
It's since I've been standing here for the past 5 minutes just trying to direct it towards the sump pump's gone on about six times.
Oh, God,
that's a lot of water.
Yeah, it is. So. I want to thank the folks in the chat room tonight. That's Chris Johnson out of Pensacola, the Emerald Coast chapter, Heroes on the Water. We appreciate you, your participation, Chris, and we'll be seeing you guys pretty soon. Stan, he's going to be he's down in Panama City. So if you're there, if you're listening to the podcast, if go stop by and see him. And we'll be seeing him on the 4th of July weekend. We're going to take a little trip down to the beach. LGB, I see you in there. And LGB just made a fishing team there. I want to congratulate. I saw somebody congratulate him earlier. Yeah, Stan's in Panama City Beach. That's right. And Paddle for a Purpose. Yeah, Canoe and Kayak Magazine, Paddle for a Purpose. There you go. And I was trying to see what else. Jim, I know you're still listening in up there. For Chris, Stan is the director of the Panama City Beach Marinas, both of them. So yeah, he's the new director. So he just started. So just took over the position. Matt, I hope that yes. The water...
Oh, it's just slowed down, actually, so that's a good sign.
That's a good sign, right? Yeah. Yeah. Right, we can't see it splashing. And thanks for joining us tonight, Jim. Mr. Becker, appreciate it as always, man. What's the spaghetti model showing?
Showing all quiet, actually. The low that they were talking about coming up into the Gulf this coming weekend is sometime in the beginning of last week of June, first week of July time frame has been on again and off again, the models. At this point, it appears to be a rainmaker for the Texas-Louisiana coastline, not much showing in the way of organization. Atlantic's quiet, rest of the Caribbean's quiet.
Awesome. So it looks like the 4th of July might be a good weekend. So,
well, we're still going to have some rain challenges with sea breezes and competing sea breeze collision areas, but that'll be it should still be good to go.
All right. So you heard it with the man from the golden with the golden voice. We should be good to go. Jim, thanks, man. Hope you get into the water here pretty soon.
No problem, man.
All right. And everybody else, don't forget the boondoggle. Where's the boondoggle thing? I had a new boondoggle plug here. There it is. Hang on.
Boondoggle? What the heck is a boondoggle? Is it a tournament? No, it's not a freaking tournament. A boondoggle's just an event where a bunch of kayak anglers come together for a weekend of fun and kayak fishing. We all get together and fish, check out industry-related products, have a big dinner, and swap a fishing story or two. What's that? Sounds like a useless waste of time? Yeah, it is. So what? So get your butt up off the couch and get to a boondoggle. Bring yourself. Bring your family. Heck, bring your hairy-ass brother-in-law. I don't care. Just get to a boondoggle. Check out yakangler.com/boondoggle for more information.
And that compliments of our little buddy Adam there at yakangler.com. So, all right. And, Jim, I'll catch up with you for some gals. And we'll see you guys next week. And, actually, I'll probably be broadcasting from Panama City Beach next week. Right? Yeah. So we can do that. I think that's enough for tonight, Mr. Becker. What shall we go out with?
Plan, Sam.
All right. Best to you and yours, and we'll see you next week. Take a kid fishing. And tight lines, everybody. We'll see you next week. Thanks, all.
Thanks, Jim.